Would you turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 13? We have a wonderful little prayer here this morning from a fellow named Manoah. This is regarding the birth of Samson. And in chapter 12, the preceding chapter of 13, we had the story of Jephthah and how the Lord delivered the Ammonites into his hand, and he made that foolish vow and that kind of stuff. But then we see in first verse of 13, again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And now we then have the story of a couple, an unbeknownst couple here by the name of Manoah and his wife. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, comes to his wife and says, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And he goes ahead and tells her that she's not to drink any wine or eat anything unclean. He says, be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, nor to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Well, it's interesting here. These are Danites, and Dan was prophesied way back in Genesis 49 by Jacob when he was prophesying for his children. And he said, and from Dan shall come a judge to rule the children of Israel. And this would appear to be maybe a fulfillment of that prophecy, because we have a Danite here who's going to be named Samson, who is going to be selected to be a judge. And it's interesting that we have so many parallelisms here, really, between this situation and others. We had the barrenness of Sarah, and, you know, we had the promise of God that that Isaac would be born. We had the barrenness of Rebekah, and then, of course, Isaac was born. We had the barrenness of Rachel. We had the barrenness of Hannah. But we see here so many similarities in here because of the promise of the son to be born, and now we have a deliverer to come, really, for the children of Israel against the Philistines. This is not a total deliverer, though, because it says he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Who finished the deliverance of the Philistines from Israel? Remember? David's most mighty king, David. He was the one that finally put the Philistines to rest. The Philistines were not that big a people. They only really had five major cities. But the Lord used them to really be a severe thorn in the side of Israel, as he did other nations, because they were of their disobedience. It said here, evil. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. But now God is telling this Danite lady that she's going to have a son. And so she runs and tells her husband, and he believes her. He's not skeptical. And I think this is so awesome because, you know, when Jesus told Thomas, as he put his fingers in his hand and in his side, blessed are you who believe, but blessed even more are those who without seeing believe. And here is Manoah, and he's believing. He's not questioning this at all. And his only question is very interesting. He said, how shall we raise the child? He doesn't question whether they're going to have a child or not. So he is, in a way, he to me is just as good as Abraham, because Abraham believed and was accounted to him for righteousness. And here Manoah is believing, is he not? And so she tells him about this man of God came to me. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't get his name. He didn't tell me. And he said, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now you shall drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And so here's Manoah's response now, the prayer we want to get to here in verse 8 of chapter 13 of Judges. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again. Why? To teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And this is a great prayer, isn't it? He's not questioning. He says, you know, I'm not sure about what my wife may have had, you know, a dream or something. You know, would you come again and confirm it to make sure that I know it's true? He doesn't say that. He says, come again and teach us what to do. Now, this, of course, brings us to a lot of verses, but one is Philippians 2:3, is it not, or 2:13, is it not? For it is God who what wills and to do. And so we are not only to will to do His will, we're to do His will, aren't we? There's a doing aspect of those who follow the Lord, isn't there? And here it is, teach us what to do for the child who will be born. And I like the response, and God listened. And God listened in verse 9 to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. Now, was she really alone? Well, she was apart from her husband, and there was no one else around, but she certainly wasn't alone with respect to the Lord, was she? And I think it's important here for us to not overlook the importance of being alone with God, because how often He does commune with us when we're alone with Him, right? I don't know how about you, but yesterday, part of the day was very busy with gathering together with family and so forth for Christmas celebration. But when we gather together, it's a busy time, isn't it? Did you hear much from the Lord in the midst of the busyness? I was asking for the Lord's forgiveness this morning because I was so bad yesterday because Peggy said, let's go to the store and get some spaghetti. And I said, well, I want to watch the Laker game. I mean, that was kind of my reaction. And how foolish that was. So I think I was probably responsible for the Lakers losing so badly yesterday because God said, if you think that's important, let me show you how good they really are. I mean, they were lousy, right? But oh, you watched it too. I mean, that's three of us, huh?
Some of us turned it off after a while. It was that bad.
Anyway, the point of it all was that how we get distracted by the world, right? And the whole purpose of God approaching this lady here is to emphasize on her the importance of being set apart from the world, right? Because the Nazarite vow is, the Nazarite, which is, the vow is shown in Numbers chapter 5, but it basically has several components to it. One component is not to eat any aspect of the grape or the raisin, not to eat raisins, not to drink wine, not to drink grape juice, just stay away from grapes, period. And not to cut the hair. Not to cut the hair. And so these are the two things that God is required, well, and not to eat anything unclean. So there's three things. Don't cut the hair, don't drink the grape or eat the raisins or wine, and not to eat anything unclean. And here is what is being stressed here to the mother here, drink no wine nor eat anything unclean. And then also goes ahead and says with the son that no razor shall touch his head. And so when God listens to the voice and comes to the woman the second time, then she goes and finds her husband. Now, also I think it's a pretty good husband here. He's not all jealous and say, well, why did the Lord come to you? He doesn't come to me. I'm not going to buy this, right? He doesn't say that at all. He is just totally, totally saying, let your words come to pass, is kind of his second prayer here in verse 12. What will the boy's rule of life and his work? And I think that's good for us to pray for our children and grandchildren. Not only that they walk with the Lord, but they be an instrument in His hands for the good of the people, right? Because God is not blessing this couple here just to have a child because they were childless. He's doing that, but that's not the main thing, I don't think. I think the main thing here, He's going to use this child to begin to deliver Israel, right? And so that's how He's going to use you and how He's going to use me and our children and our grandchildren effectively. And that's to, what, bring sinners to the Lord, to be a witness for Him. It's not just to, you know, live 70, 80, 90 years here, fat and prosperous. That's not what life is all about, is it? So He says, what will the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, oh, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful that she not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Those are the three things. So my question to you today is, how set apart are you from the world? Because is this not what God's heart is, that we be set apart from the world? The whole Nazarite thing is to show you're set apart from the world, it seems to me. And if he's going to really use us, if we're usable, we've got to be set apart from the world, right? We can't have the world in us, even any of the world in us, and be really, truly effective, it would seem. So he says, Manoah then said to the angel, please let us detain you, and we'll prepare a young goat for you, and so forth. And so then the Lord says, no, but to prepare a sacrifice. So they did, and then the Lord appears and disappears in the fire, and they know that it is the Lord. And so fear really comes over them, and they fear they're going to be, Manoah thinks they're going to be struck dead. But his wife says, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering, nor would he have shown us all these things at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. So we see here then that I believe we need to be set apart from the world. We need to know that when we're alone with God, we're not really alone, but that may be the best time. And we need to pray for our children and others to not only be totally dedicated to God, but to be instrumental in doing his work. And then I think we need to be aware not only of his will, but to do it, right? Father, we thank you for this prayer, and these prayers always seem to have so many elements of application for us, and even though a different time, and though you didn't call us necessarily to deliver this nation from the Philistines, I think you did call each of us to deliver those in bondage from sin and to be instruments of the gospel, instruments of the witness of your love. And so, Lord, help us. And we can look back yesterday, or I can anyway, and see how I really didn't use yesterday very well in many cases of really be totally set apart and really praying and focusing on only one thing, and that is being a witness for you. But Lord, today is another day. You will give us more divine appointments today. I pray we will not miss them. And I pray that we would just be doing your will each day until you take us out of here. So bless and guide and lead us now in this time of prayer. And one of the most usable ways I think that we can be is in prayer. And so here we are to pray. Thank you for those who are here. And lead us now in one accord. In Jesus' name, amen.